Wonderful. Well, what a great privilege to and honor to share with you today. And what a great time of adoration of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus, eh? Isn't it awesome? Just as we stand here today, I just have an overwhelming sense of affection for Gateway Church. How many of us love this church? We certainly as a family have benefited hugely from this church, and so have many of us here, in fact all of us, I think, and our nation as a whole. But our affection for Gateway Church is nothing in comparison for the affection that the Savior has for you. Someone said, "How much do you love me, Jesus?" He said, "This much." He loves us wholeheartedly. He held nothing back. And if the Lord did not spare his own son, how much more? How much more will he not with him freely give us all things? The future is bright and it's wonderful. What wonderful words of appreciation for Nigel and Melita. And we could echo and we could speak testimony after testimony of how your lives have touched ours. And we have great appreciation for you guys. And we know the best is yet to come. God says, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future." And those plans are unfolding. I think it's wonderful. We have anticipation for Russ and Bibi and for all that God is going to do through Gateway and through your ministry at Gateway. And God has handpicked you and brought you here for this purpose, for a purpose, and to serve his purpose. Really just sense Ephesians 2 and verse 10 that says, "You are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for you to do." And this is part of those good works that you're going to walk into and experience. And then finally, my fourth A, if you've been keeping notes, my fourth A is I would like to affirm and announce that this new season is going to be a wonderful season for Gateway Church. In praying over what to share with you, there's so much that you could share, but I'd like to share a very simple few thoughts with you in my time of sharing. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the harvest, the harvest. And we've heard about the harvest a little bit today. Rob mentioned it, how there is a great harvest. In John 4 verse 35, Jesus said, "Do not say, 'Yet 4 more months, then comes the harvest.' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are now ripe and ready for harvest." And I feel to announce to you today, Gateway, that this is a season of harvest, that God has a harvest for you to go and reap. And the harvest represents people who need to hear and respond to the gospel. There is a great harvest that the Lord has prepared for you. Contend for the promises, as Melita said 2 weeks ago. Where are our children? Where are the spiritual children that the Lord has promised us, that he wants to bring us into a place where we will see, experience, and see the harvest? Jesus says, "The harvest is ripe and it is ready." Now, four thoughts I'd like to share with you. There are four things that are needed or required for there to be a harvest. And the first is seed. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, talking about the parable of the sower, Jesus said the sower went out to sow seed. And then in verse 11, he tells us what the seed is. He says the seed is the word of God. And for there to be a harvest, seed must be sown. And I think the new website, which I had a look at today, is looking wonderful. And you see messages that go back to 2008. Isn't that amazing? And those are messages that have been prayed over, have been worked at, and messages that are a repository. Is that the right word? Big word for today? Yeah? Good word. It's a good word. A repository, something that you can dig into, a resource of years and years of messages that have prepared you as a church and have sown seed. As a church, you've gone out onto the streets. As Melita said, thank you for going out on the streets, for praying for people, for sharing the love of Jesus with this community. And as you continue to sow seed, we know that it is the word of God that produces fruit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. And much seed has been sown, and much seed needs to continue to be sown. And plans that are afoot, I see there's Alpha courses planned, there's other outreaches planned, and all of that is to get the seed of God's word out where it needs to be. And I think it's important that we sow the right kind of seed. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, we're warned, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the principles of this world, and not according to Christ. You've been exhorted as a church to hold on to what you've already attained. And I think that you have a wonderful heritage in this church, a church that's been around for years, and we've seen God do amazing things, but the best is yet to come. And I think there's great pressure on us in our generation to either swing to the pendulum of the tradition of men, particularly in this nation, or swing to the pendulum of the principles of this world. And I think it's wonderful that this church has been built on the foundation of Christ, the foundation of his word. And as we continue to sow seed and sow the right kind of seed, not building on the principles of this world, things that just sound good, good management principles, but to say, let's build biblically. God can bless what is built in the right way. Dudley Daniels said, if we want to see New Testament results, we need to build with New Testament methods. And I think that that's been done well and solidly in this local church. There's also a pressure on us to go to the tradition of men. And I think I've heard that the last seven words of the church as we raptured will be, we've never done it this way before. And I want to tell you today that God has so much more in store. And what you and I need to do is we need to be open to all that he has for us as he begins to open up the word to us. It's wonderful. The Great Commission. They went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord confirmed his word through the accompanying signs. As we go and we share the word, God is able to do things. Seed needs to be sown, and let's keep on sowing seed. Great amounts of seed have been sown. Wonderful seed has been sown. Good seed has been sown. The second thing we need is we need soil. For there to be a harvest, we need the seed to be planted in soil. And soil is the human heart. The parable of the sower could be called the parable of the soils, because the emphasis is not so much on the seed, but on the four different types of human heart, the four conditions of human heart: hard-heartedness, shallow-heartedness, thorny-hearted, or a fruitful heart that produces 30, 60, or 100-fold. And I want you to know that 100-fold is not 100% increase, but 10,000% increase. And the word of God can produce an incredible harvest in our lives. Now, we don't really know the state of the human heart. And it's not our job to judge. It's our job to sow. And keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on sowing seed. We know, however, we don't know the state of the human heart, but we know that it's God's will that everyone is saved. Listen to these verses. The Lord is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And Romans 10, verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, God has there are so many people out there who need to hear this gospel. And you've got something to give. As a church, the best days are ahead. And there's soil out there that we need to sow into. The third thing that we need to see for a harvest to take place is rain. Now, what does rain represent? Rain actually represents prayer. If we read in James chapter 5, and we read in James chapter 5, verse 7, and then again in verse 16 through to verse 18. And just to mention this to you, in verse 16 to verse 18, first of all, it talks about how we need to confess our sins to one another. We need to pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is effective. Then he talks about how Elijah prayed and he continued to pray that it might rain. And it didn't rain. When he prayed it wouldn't rain, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed it would rain, and it rained on the earth, and the rain came down, and the heaven bore its fruit. There was a great harvest. But now if we go back to verse 7, we see in verse 7 of James chapter 5, it says, "Be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains." Now, in Israel, they would have two rainy seasons, the early or autumn rains, which would come in about October. And that would soften the soil and prepare it for seed sowing. And we need to pray and continue to pray. And I think it's wonderful that part of the culture of this church is a heart for prayer. To pray for the nations, to pray for our neighborhoods, to pray for what God is doing in our city. To see His kingdom come and His will to be done. And so the early and autumn rains softened the soil, prepared it for seed sowing. The latter or spring rains came in May. And they came just before the harvest to bring the crop to maturity. You know what? We need to sow the seed. We need to sow it on soil. We can't determine what kind of soil it is. We just got to keep sowing and keep sowing and keep sowing and just making it available. And then God is able to breathe on that. He's able to send the rain. And the rain being the prayer, we need to pray for decisions and we need to pray for disciples. And I want to encourage us to keep on praying. God wants to bring a great harvest. He really does. And my final thought is we also need laborers. For there to be a harvest, we need seed, we need soil, we need rain, and we need laborers. And who are the laborers? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." Now, I want you to picture this today. The Lord is repositioning some laborers today. He's sending Nigel and Melita to South Africa to be a part of a base church with their specialized gifting to be able to take that seed and to begin to plant it. Now, you can plant seed into soil organically and get a certain type of crop. You can get a certain reward or return. Or you can do it methodically and you can get an exponential return. You know, the amazing thing about a seed is this. They took a seed out of one of the Egyptian pharaoh's tombs that was thousands of years old, and they planted the seed. And it produced. Isn't that incredible? Within that seed is life. And going back to just all the messages that we have, all that's been stored and now published on the website, you know, it may have been preached in 2008, but it can still bear fruit today. It can still make a difference today. And I think just to affirm to you guys, what you've put in is just going to continue to bear fruit. And for each one of us, we need to recognize that we have seed that we need to go and sow. We need to go and take that seed and we need to continue to sow it. And the Lord says he wants us to pray that he will send laborers out into his harvest field. If you'd look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to verse 9. And we might read a little bit further, but let me just read this to you. He says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." Then he continues. He says, "So neither is he who plants or he who waters anything. And as Melita reminded us, apart from him, we can do nothing. But God gives the growth. He who plants, he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Then he continues. He says, "According to the grace God's given me, I've laid a foundation. Someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." God wants us to be his field, and he wants us to begin to plant from that field into the fields around us and to make a significant difference. People reach people. Not programs, not meetings, not handing out pamphlets. They might be a tool, but they're only the tools in the hand of a person. I just love the story of the first Gentile believer, Cornelius. An angel appears to him and says, "Send for a man who will tell you words by which you must be saved." And I want to tell you, the gospel needs to be demonstrated. The gospel needs to be, it has to have power, and it has to have good works, but it's got to also have words. And the word needs to be shared. It needs to be spoken. And I find it amazing. Why didn't the angel share the message? Because God has a plan. And God's plan is you and I, his church. He wants you and I to be his messengers, to go and take this wonderful message of the gospel and share it with people all around us. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we now have laborers coming to take on the work here, to join this team, to lead this team. And every single one of us are on God's team here at Gateway. If you're a part of Gateway, you're a part of this labor force. You've got a new foreman. And as he comes and he begins to say, this is how we're gonna plant. This is what we're going to do. And it starts to direct the way you work together as a labor force. I believe that it's wonderful that you've got a different type of gifting. And I think it's wonderful that they're not going to leave us in the mud, especially now that we live on Mud Island. I think it's wonderful that God wants to take us and out of the miry clay and put our feet on the rock. He wants to do wonderful things with us. God wants to use people like you and I. And let me just end just with a quick story. In a small village in France, they had a statue of Jesus in the square. During the Second World War, it was bombed, and the statue fell, and its hands were broken off. With affection, they lifted up the statue to its feet, and one man asked, "What good is our Christ with no hands?" Another man set the statue on a new base with a plaque which read, "We are his hands." Many years later, a poet visited and was inspired to write these words: "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no voice but your voice to tell men why I died. I have no help but your help to bring men to my side." God wants each one of us to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful privilege of being co-laborers together with Christ. And it's wonderful that that he is just rearranging his labor force. One plants, another waters, another one plants, another waters, and we just keep on. It's a process. It's not an event. It's a process that we keep on doing. Sowing of seed, praying over that seed, all playing our part. But who brings the growth? To whom belongs the glory? It's wonderful. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to, in a moment or two, just invite Nigel Melita up, and then Russ and Bibi up, and I'm going to invite some others to come and pray with us, and we're going to pray through the handing over of the leadership of this local church to a new couple. And God has a new season. He really does. But I think we need to understand that in this new season, it's going to need to be all hands on deck. He has no hands but your hands to do his work today. He has no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. He has no voice but your voice to tell men how he died and why he died. And he has no help but your help to bring men to his side. And I want to encourage you, let's make ourselves today available to be used by him. Now, for us that have come from other churches that are connected in relationship with Gateway, we're very excited. We really are. And your success is our success. And we want to see everything that God has for this wonderful church come to pass. And we know that we will reap, as we have already, from the success that takes place here in this church. So why don't we just dedicate ourselves as a church to him today. Lord, we come to you today and we want to surrender our mouths, our ears, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our whole body, our whole being, our voice, our thoughts, our energies, our resources to you. We want our lives to count for you. Thank you that you have a great harvest. Lord, we say, here we are. Send us. Amen. Amen.